Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Wednesday, February 19th. I'm Olivia Rose. Petersburg held a town hall meeting last week to discuss the future of tourism in Alaska's Little Norway. The local borough is currently considering a potential partnership with a small cruise ship company and may see more tourists in coming years. KFSK attended the town hall and has this report.
I know nobody likes to be in the front, but...
About 60 people are packed in Petersburg's Assembly Chambers to talk about the future of local tourism.
Glad we have good attendance. This is an important topic in Petersburg. I felt anyway, because you hear our neighbors complaining about, you know, too much.
That's Petersburg's mayor, Mark Jensen.
I think the whole community should be involved in this discussion.
He says he called the town hall to hear from locals about their thoughts on tourism in general, and also as an opportunity to weigh in on potential changes coming to town, asking how the industry has affected the people and businesses in the community, and what potentially having more tourists, especially from cruise ships, might mean. Scores of locals offer their thoughts. One after another, speakers emphasize and echo the importance of balance, management, and especially local control.
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 Controlled growth. And that's what you need. And that's what you must have.
They say controlling the growth protects Petersburg from potentially having more tourists than the town can really handle, or of the borough selling out to non-local corporations that might take more than give to the community. Several representatives of small local businesses explain that it's because of the summer swell of tourists that they're able to stay open for local patrons during the off-season. Madeline Valentine, co-owner of Viking Travel, puts it this way.
Being able to go down to a hardware store, to a grocery store, to a bookstore, shop for clothing, etc., that is sustained, by tourists. We'd like to think it's from us, but it is from the visitors to our town. So just a reminder that the dollars that are being spent in the town are going a lot further than just the business owners here. It's allowing everyone the opportunity to have these amenities year round, you know.
And representatives from Petersburg's Chamber of Commerce echo their support for increased tourism in town.
And this is an area of opportunity we need to expand and grow and just not ignore.
Sarah Holmgreen is the president of the chamber, the school board president, and a small business owner in town.
It has untapped potential to bring in more revenue, and additional revenue prevents job cuts, program cuts, and allows you and the rest of us to continue to grow and fund the school district. It helps small businesses grow and expand, and thereby employees of those businesses will continue to live and work here.
Holmgreen says that the chamber passed a resolution supporting a potential project between the Petersburg Borough and a longtime port caller, American Cruise Lines. The cruise company brings in a few vessels each summer with about 170 passengers. The company approached the borough last fall about a potential partnership to build a dock and float for their ships to use while in port in Petersburg. The borough would own the dock and could use it off-season. American Cruise Lines is scheduled to visit Petersburg more frequently in the coming summers, and the new build could also potentially help reduce congestion at a nearby dock that cruise ships have to share with the commercial fishing fleet. Kristen Mara is with the cruise company. She emphasizes that the dock would be the borough's.
I've heard a lot of folks ask about control tonight, and we never own the infrastructure once it's built. So it's always a public facility. So that's one thing to note.
Mara says the company and its customers are attracted to Petersburg as is, and assures the room they don't want to change that.
We value what you have here. We want to be a part of it. We want to have more of a home here. And we just want a safe, reliable place where we can dock and again, not create conflict on your waterfront.
And Petersburg Harbor Master, Glo Wolin, offers some reassurance of her own to the room as well.
And know that your harbor mother is taking care of you and your children's children as long as I'm here, so.
The new dock plan is very much still in its early stages. American Cruise Line submitted a formal application to the borough earlier this month. It'll first go before the Planning Commission, and there will be a public hearing before any actionable decision is made. As for tourism's future in Alaska's Little Norway, borough leadership expects the conversation to continue. In Petersburg, I'm Olivia Rose. President Trump's tariffs on China, imported steel and aluminum, and the now-paused tariffs on Mexico and Canada could all have significant impacts on Alaskans, from the price of everyday goods to vastly increased costs for construction and seafood processing. That's according to two experts in economics and international trade who spoke on Talk of Alaska Tuesday. Greg Wolf is the president of the Alaska International Business Center and has been involved with international trade in Alaska for nearly 40 years. He said one of the biggest impacts on Alaskan businesses will be in industries where raw materials cross borders for manufacturing and processing. He gave the example of zinc from the Red Dog mine.
When it arrives in Canada, there's a tariff. Then they ship the zinc back for American manufacturers, and guess what? There's at least a 10% tariff, maybe more, on that. So it's tariffed possibly twice. Mm-hmm. This is happening in seafood. This will happen in minerals.
The president has called these tariffs negotiating tools to get policies he wants from other countries. He has also said these tariffs will get companies to move manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. Kevin Berry is chair of the economics department at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He said he sees conflicting priorities between those goals.
If these are a negotiating tactic, the implication is that they'd be risen, like they'd be removed if we got what we wanted. If we're thinking about the payback period for building a new factory or opening a new mine, right, the permitting process for a mine alone could be decades long. I just don't know any firms that are making decisions on a timeline that short and also spending hundreds of millions of dollars in capital.
Both Wolf and Berry agreed that any tariffs will result in higher prices for consumers. State lawmakers are considering a new student loan repayment program to attract former Alaskans to return and serve as teachers and state workers. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, it's an effort to address the state's struggle to hire key employees and stem the tide of outmigration.
The program outlined in House Bill 28 would pay off up to $24,000 in student debt for Alaskans who go out of state for college as an incentive to return home to work for the state or as a public school teacher. Juneau Democratic Representative Andy Story is the bill's sponsor.
I want to incentivize and encourage skilled former Alaskans to come back home and work as teachers or state employees. These Alaskans typically have family here and a connection to this place and are more apt to stay long-term than new hires from another state.
Over the past 12 years, roughly 56,000 more Alaskans left the state than arrived. And Story says only about a third of Alaskans who go south for college wind up coming back. Her proposed loan repayment program would also be open to University of Alaska graduates who have lived out of state for at least a year. The repayments would be funded by $1 million from the state's Higher Education Fund each year. The three-year pilot program could support up to 125 yearly $8,000 grants. The bill had its first hearing on Monday. Terry Fagerstrom testified. She received state student loan assistance under a program active in the 1970s and 80s, and she said it provided an incentive to return home after going to college in the lower 48.
At the end of 5 years, I had a really good job, and I had great benefits. I had established my community. I had friends. I'd purchased a home, and I was vested, and I stayed here. So the way I look at it, for an $11,000 investment, the state of Alaska got a 31-year, very productive, highly educated employee. And I think that's a pretty good return on investment.
The bill is currently in the early stages of the legislative process. It'll have to clear the House Education Committee and the Finance Committee before advancing to a final House vote. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Alaska's state ferry system continues to face stiff headwinds when it comes to staffing, state officials say. Alaska Marine Highway officials say they're struggling to attract and retain workers, especially licensed staff. AMHS Marine Director Craig Torunga told House committees last week that the ferry system hasn't been able to offer a seven-ship schedule since the pandemic. And when it comes to engineers and deck officers, he says the situation is getting worse, not better.
And the licensed officers, both in the engine room and in the wheelhouse, we're going the wrong direction right now, unfortunately. We're not making as many as we need, and we've, through the retirements and going to the pilot, we've been going the wrong direction.
The Marine Highway System is nearly 10% short of the minimum number of masters and mates it needs to run a full fleet. Add in a cushion in case crew members get sick, injured, or take leave, and the ferry system is 30% short of its target number of officers. It's a similar story for engineers and lower-ranking deck crew. And even among the deck officers the ferry system does have, Tornga says it is still short 31 officers with full pilotage. That's a qualification for navigating Alaska's tricky tides and rocky shores, and it takes years to obtain. Tornga says the state is working on new ways to help build the ranks of certified pilots. He told lawmakers the Marine Highway is working on a plan that would pay lower-ranking officers a partial salary to do ride-alongs on their way to getting pilotage. But for now, Tornga says the Alaska Marine Highway system is serving as something of a farm system for other maritime employers, like, say, cruise ships who've hired ferry workers away from the state.
It's just a nature of our market here with the cruise ship growth that where are you going to get them? You know, there's a lot of guys that are qualified with pilotage over at AMHS.
Tornga says pay and working conditions are major struggles in recruiting and retention. For one example, he says masters working for Washington State Ferry System can earn a full 25% more than they can in Alaska, and unlike their Alaska colleagues, they can go home to their families every night. Tornga also told lawmakers the ferry system would not run its popular cross-Gulf route between South Central and Southeast Alaska this summer. That's because the ferry Kennecott is in layup for upgrades. Juneau Democratic Representative Sarah Hannon introduced a bill that would impose a statewide tax on e-cigarette or vape products and raise the minimum purchasing age in Alaska. Versions of this bill have come before lawmakers multiple times in the past few years, and public testimony was divided. KTOO's Clarice Larson reports.
The minimum purchasing age for e-cigarette or vape products in the state could go from 19 to 21 years old. The proposal would also tack a 25% tax on those products. Tax money would go toward a new smoking prevention and education fund. At a House Labor and Commerce Committee meeting on Monday, members of the public weighed in. Lena Adase graduated from Anchorage's Diamond High School in May. She's co-president of Youth Encouraging Alaskans Health, or YAH, a tobacco prevention and education coalition. She supports the bill.
Whether it was in the halls, the classrooms, anywhere in schools, you would see students taking a hit of their vape. And at my high school, it got to a point where so many people were using these products in bathrooms that every single bathroom door in the high school had to be opened for like half of the school year.
Adeas says she worries that the prevalence of vape products among high school students is negatively impacting their overall health and academic success. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, vaping and nicotine addiction can harm adolescent brain development and lead to increased stress or anxiety. In 2023, nearly 20% of Alaskan high schoolers reported vaping over the prior 30 days. Roy Armstrong, co-president of YAH and another recent high school graduate, says the additional tax included in the bill could help prevent students from becoming addicted in the first place.
Once you're addicted to a substance, it's very hard to quit, and you will do a lot to get the substance that you're addicted to. So these price increases are going to stop more youth from starting because of their budget constraints.
Not everyone is on board with the bill. Sean DeSilva, owner of Fat Boy Vapors Alaska, argued vapes are a safer alternative to cigarettes, and the additional tax on products could push more people to take up cigarettes instead. Anchorage resident Mark Sundquist told the committee on Monday that the tax would drive people away from purchasing products from local retailers, and that patrons would instead get them illegally.
While the intention may be to discourage the use of e-vapor products, these tax rates would inadvertently make legal and regulated products more expensive. This, in turn, would create a price advantage for illicit products on the black market.
Juneau Democratic Representative Sarah Hannon is the House bill's sponsor. She says the sales tax is the point. They've been proven to reduce youth tobacco use, and she'd like to align state law with federal law. In 2019, a federal law raised the national legal age of purchasing, selling, or distributing tobacco products to 21 years old.
I certainly think that we want to make sure that we are regulating as best we can products that are legally for sale.
Kodiak Republican Senator Gary Stevens filed a similar version of the bill in the Senate. He's been a proponent of raising the minimum age for the past decade. On Monday, members of the House Labor and Commerce Committee voted 4-2 to advance the bill. It will next be considered by the House Finance Committee. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.